Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, your spirit is, Lord, moving right now in this place, God. We can't move, Lord. We can't move without you, Lord. We feel, oh God, your presence, Lord. You're ministering right now, God. Whatever you need, he's got it. Whatever you desire, he's got it. He's got everything you need. Come on. Just begin to lift up your voice. Begin to lift up your voice to him and let him know, God, I need you. Hallelujah. I bless you, Lord, right now, God. I'm telling you. It is something about the worshiper. It's something about that person that's not caring about what everybody else is doing. But I know what I need. I know what I've come for today. Hallelujah. Do it, Lord. Do it, do it, do it for us, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. While you were just lifting up your voices, while you were just meditating, unbeknownst to you, the presence of God moved in this place. Unbeknownst to you ushers, you didn't have to usher him in because this is his house. So he goes where he wants to go, does what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. And right now he's ministering. So I can't do anything. I want God to have his way this morning. I want God to speak to you in the name of Jesus. You know what you need. You know what you came for. I don't know, but I wouldn't leave here unless I yielded and gave him everything this day. Come on, put your sanctified hands together. Give the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings the I am that I am. Give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated if you can. It is something about allowing God to have his way. I know there are churches, they have programs, and you read and you say, right about now, we're going to do this, this. But can we just throw the program out the window today? Can we just begin to realize that he is in this building? And wherever the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team, for inviting us into your worship experience, reminding us this power in the name of Jesus. As y'all said, Jesus, there was something that just shook with inside. There's something about the name of, see, demons tremble at the sound of that name. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. To the glory of the Father. There's something about the name of Jesus. Anything wonderful can happen when you lift up and magnify that name. Hallelujah. Lord, I know you want to do something today, God. Lord, let me be yielded to you. Hallelujah. I invite your attention to the book of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse number 11. Just one scripture, but I'm going to give you three different renderings. In Jeremiah 29 and 11, he says in the King James, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And then the NIV reads it this way. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then the Amplified turns around and reads this way. For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. Eternal God, we are grateful to be in the land of the living. We're thankful, God, that we're able to have, Lord, another opportunity to stand, Lord, before your presence, God, in a worship service and lift up holy hands and begin to magnify you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for giving us, Lord, life and health and strength this day. And we know that, God, you have orchestrated, Lord, this gathering today. So help us, oh Lord Jesus, not to just be hearers of your word, but to be doers of it. And Lord, please, your servant desires, Lord, your anointing. For it's through your anointing, Lord, that yokes, fetters, and chains are broken. I can do nothing without you. So Lord, please lend me your anointing. And Lord, when everything is said and done and lives are changed, hearts are lifted up, souls are saved, somebody repents today of their sins, somebody's baptized in Jesus' name today, somebody's filled with heaven's Holy Ghost, we'll remember to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let everyone say in Jesus' name. Now before you're seated, let me invite you back to the Amplified version of Jeremiah 29 and 11. And it says, for I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. In the remaining time that I have, if I could, I'd like to leave this thought with you. God's future is greater than your past. God's future is greater than your past. Turn to that person next to you and say, now, do you believe it? Then receive it. God bless you. You may be seated. God's future is greater than your past. Brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, whatever you have walked through in the past, somebody say in the past, no matter the sadness, the loss, the failure, the oppression, your latter days shall be greater than your former days and more glorious. Get me one somebody to say amen. Every task that God allowed you to go through was for his glory. It is never meant to destroy us. And that is why God said, my thoughts for you are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to a good expectation and hope. Amen? Amen. All too many times, brothers and sisters, our thoughts dwell on our past. Mm-hmm. On our past, which also includes our sins. It has us looking backwards instead of forward to our future. It's so easy to be overwhelmed by despair and fear in the world that we live in today. Sin, war, cancer, sickness, all find a way to steal our hope and causes us to doubt that there is a good future ahead. Can I be real? Yet, God has promised us that he has plans for us. Somebody said, he got plans for us. And more importantly, he's got plans for me. He's got these plans for us that are of good future and with hope. It's through the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. Because it's through the power of the Holy Ghost that we're able to look forward with joy to God's destiny. pertaining to our lives. In Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 13, it says, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So please, sir, ma'am, stop allowing your past to block your future. Because God's future is greater than your past. Yes. I know, my brothers and sisters, it's so easy to focus on the past. Who did what to us? What they did wrong. How they hurt us. You know what I'm talking about. We dwell on the past. And we say things like, what could I have done better? Well, the good news of Jesus Christ is this. God doesn't want your past to define you. That was your past. And this is your future. You've got to stop living in your past. How many of y'all ride vehicles? I know I got some drivers in here. Come on, don't deny you got a car. And when you ride in that car, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all ride your car looking in the rearview mirror the whole time? The whole time you riding, instead of looking forward, you looking in the rearview mirror. I promise you, you're going to cause an accident. And I promise you, you won't get where you need to get to as fast as you can. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because you're looking in the... Talk back to me. I'm telling you, the good news is that he doesn't want us to be defined by our past. He's more interested in your future than in your past. So why, please tell me, why do you center your thoughts on your past? When the best is yet to come. Anybody believe that? The best is yet to come. Why be shackled to the past when your future is so much brighter? God's future for us is greater than our past. Now, please, sir, ma'am, let's be clear on this. Everything in our past wasn't bad. Hello? In fact, God has done so many good things in our past. Now, I need you to go back because some of us, that's where we live at anyway. Man, I remember when God did this. I remember when, come on now. Listen, God has done some great things, awesome things in our past. But can you just imagine this for a moment? If he did all of that in the past, you can't compare your past to your future. You can't compare what God has in store for you right now. If you get excited about what he did back then, what about right now? What about the future? I like being honest. I like being transparent. My wife, wonderful, wonderful. When she's trying to get a hold of the horns of the altar, and sometimes I'm in earshot, and she was saying something that I remembered about me, about when I was coming up, when I was birthed in Europe as far as being born again. And there were situations that there would be times I would get off from her, and I would go literally unto the mountains in Fulda, Germany, and I would pray. And she was saying that to God. And as she was saying that, I was excited about that then. But what about now? What about the future? What about how God wants to use me in prayer now, moving forward? That's why I'm saying it. And you need to get a hold of this. As awesome as our past was, as great as our past was in the way that God dealt with us and helped us, it can't compare to our future. Does anybody believe that? No wonder the Apostle Paul said this, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's found in Philippians 3, 14 through 15. Paul's life epitomizes the fact that God's future is greater than our past. Let's look at it. Let's chronicle his life for a moment. His past was that he was a persecutor of the saints. You remember, he was on his way to Damascus to get letters so he could throw you that believe in Christ in jail. Stood there while Stephen was being stoned, and he gave the nod and held their cloaks. So his past was he was a persecutor of the saints. However, his future finds him as a church builder, establishing churches in Asia Minor and throughout. He was teaching, preaching, and by the way, a writer of 13 epistles. Remember, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Talk back to me. You are a new creation in Christ. Stop wallowing in your past and start looking to your future. Now, there's an account in Genesis, the 13th chapter, where Abraham himself is told of God to look out before him. Everybody say before him. Not behind him, which is representative of the past, but look ahead, which represents the future. And now, I need you to remember in Genesis, the 12th chapter, because it ties in. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, here we find Abraham being instructed by God or the Lord. And this is what he said. Get thee out of thy country. See, some of us, we need to relocate spiritually. Get out of thy country and from thy kindred. Mm-hmm. There's some of your family members that you just need to separate from. Always going to get quiet in this apostolic tongue-talking church. But there, everybody in family don't mean you well. Some families, they have the crab mentality. They see you trying to do better. They see you trying to go to church. They see you trying to live for God. And they want to still put you back down in the barrel with all of the crabs. He said, get from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. Please, brothers and sisters, remember, he had come from a family of idolater worshipers. They worshiped idols. Terah, his father, he was making the move along with his son, but he passes away. And this is where we find in the 12th chapter, God having this conversation, or the Lord having this conversation with Abraham. Verse number 2 says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Stop trying to make a name for yourself and let him bring you into greatness. Don't forget, God's future is greater than your past. He said he will make thy name great and thou shalt be a blessing. Anybody in the house interested in being a blessing? See, all too many times we want to be on the receiving end of the blessing. But God says, I'm going to make you the storehouse. I'm going to make you the warehouse. I'm going to make you where people come to you. I'm going to make you a blessing. And then he says, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. My. You see what God has in store for your future? Please don't forget, God's future is greater than your past. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. See, this is where we fail. We don't do what God told us to do or tells us to do. We still talking about, I got to pray about it. If God said it, that settles it. Stop meandering around. Stop slow poking around. And just do it. That need to be the logo for Christians. Just do it. Forget about Nike. Just do it. God said it. Just so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Now watch this. And Lot went with him. He wasn't invited. He just went with him. I'm going to talk to y'all about that a little bit later. But Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Stop telling people, well, I'm too old now. The sun is going down. It ain't down, is it? You still here, ain't you? I know I'm not using correct things. I got teachers in here. But I'm trying to let you see. You got to realize he was 75 years old when he finally woke up to doing what God told him to do. Now, precious hearts, let's go back to Genesis, the 13th chapter. Now, here we find Abraham blessed beyond measure. And because of Lot being with his uncle Abraham, he too was blessed beyond measure. Now, if you go back to this account, you'll find that they had came up out of Egypt. Abraham and his family and all those that were with him. And the Bible said that Abraham had, he was rich in cattle, silver and gold. And he's traveling, he and his family. And don't forget, Lot went with him. And now they get to this land, and as they are in this land, they have so much in cattle, in land, in wealth, that there happened to be a situation where the herdsmen of Abraham were striving against the herdsmen of Lot and vice versa. And so Abraham went to his nephew and says, listen, let us not strive one with another, for we are brethren. Church folk, we need to realize we are our brother. You're my sister. Don't talk about me. If you see me slipping, help me up. He said, we shouldn't do this. We shouldn't be striving against one another. You're my brethren. And he posed this to his nephew. He says, listen, look out before you and let us separate ourselves. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And the Bible said that Lot looked out and he saw Jordan, and it was lush, precious. This was before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Kind of reminds you of the Garden of Eden. And so he's looking and he says, I'm going there. No problem. So he took that portion and he went. Abraham dwelt in Canaan while Lot went into the plains and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now, the men of Sodom were very wicked. Someone said very wicked. That's where we get the word sodomy from. That's what they were into. And the Bible said they were very wicked. But now this is what I want you to see. Verses 14 through 17 in Genesis, the 13th chapter. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, precious hearts, maybe some of your blessings is being held up because of who you with. Follow the account. Remember, Lot went with his uncle, wasn't told to come, but because he attached himself to his uncle, the same blessings followed him. But don't forget, we're talking about God's future is greater than your past.
See, in his past, he had some good stuff. Somebody say he had good stuff. But God had greater for him. But he couldn't give him the greater as long as that leech was attached to him. Oh, y'all don't know nothing about leeches. See, what leeches do, they suck the blood out of you until they drop off. It don't happen no more, but it used to be in pharmacies. You could go and get a leech, and usually there was a leech applied when somebody had gotten popped in the eye, and they had that ringer, and you get that leech, and you put it on, and you just watch it. And all of a sudden, that blood, that dried up blood, it starts sucking in and sucking in. And once it got all of the blood out, it dropped off. There's some leeches in your life. They're sucking you dry. Their lifestyle isn't what God wants for you. But you're still there with them. And God cannot and will not give you the greater because of your past. And the Lord said unto Abram, after, somebody say after, that Lot was separated from him. See, I'm telling you, I'm validating this. He says unto him, lift up now thy eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. In other words, every direction that you look at is yours. Wow! Let that marinate. Is yours. Because God's future is greater than your past. Y'all getting it? Verse 15 says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered. Now, this is what he said, verse 17, and I'm about done. Arise. Somebody says, that's a command. Now, you know, you can do one or two things with a command. You can obey it or disobey it. But he said to Abraham, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Now let me do this because it's important that you understand. Abraham saw all that God had told him from the north, south, east, west. All of it's yours. But when he said, arise, had Abraham said, looking is just good enough. All I got to do is look. Do you think that the end of this story would in with Abraham being what we call the father of faith? That's why we are engrafted, because he was the father of the faithful. Whatever God said, he did it. God said, jump. He said, how high? God said, arise and go through all of that area and walk on it. Wouldn't it be something that some of your blessings is right here, but you are disobedient in the command? Oh, it's getting quiet in this apostolic tongue talking. And that's why I like it, because that means I got your attention. It's time for some of y'all to start stepping. Stepping in faith. And knowing that when you finish your walk, it belongs to you. Somebody put your hands together and give God some glory right there. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it. Now, what if Abraham said, you know what?
man, there's a lot of land. I'm just going to step a few places. Then you would have not, or he would have not received his greater future. The length of it and the breadth of it. What if he looked at the breadth of it and said, man, please, I just walked 20 miles. The breadth is even more than that. God's future is greater than your past. And then he says, for I will give it unto thee. Come on, everybody stand on your feet. I'm done. It's time for you not to just proclaim it, but do what he said. What is it that he's told you? Not one time, not two times, not three times, and I could keep on going. And you still have not done it. And then you're acting like God is holding back something from you. Like, God, look, you're not who you said you were. He's every bit of who he said he was. He's a promise keeper. You don't believe it every time you look up in the sky after a rain and you see that bow? That's God's covenant promise that he will never destroy this earth by water again. I don't care how many tsunamis, I don't care how many floods you see on the TV, he will never flood the earth by water again. So this promise keeper is making you right now a promise. If you would just yield to what he has already told you, why should he give you a new revelation of something and you hadn't done the one he's told you? I don't know what to say, but when I thought about this for me, God has done great things in my past, I promise you. But to wrap my mind around greater in the future, that's mind-blowing. With every head bowed, all eyes closed. Now, Lord, I don't know if this came out like I thought. And who cares what I thought? Is, Lord, what you wanted. I hope somebody, Lord Jesus, today, whether here live and in person or those that are on live stream, get it. Receive it. And walk in it. Is my prayer, Lord Jesus, today that this word, Lord, will resonate in our spirit and that we, Lord, literally, Lord, will begin to look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, and, Lord, believe that our future is greater than our past. If you're here today and this spoke to you, there's something in it that resonated in your spirit and you recognize that you were living in the past, come on, come down to the altar and let's have a talk with Jesus about moving you from the past to your future. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, preacher, I never ever really gave it any thought about living for God. Well, today is that day. If you would just, while the blood is running warmly in your veins, make your way down to an altar. If you're on live stream, listen, Facebook, YouTube, I can't see you, but you can see me. And I'm trying to tell you, I truly believe that the word of God that was delivered here is the same word that's impacting you right there at your house, at the crib, bringing you to a place where you're making your bed your altar. You're turning that chair around and falling down and crying. Wherever you are. Maybe there's somebody here today and you're sick in your body. I want you to know that the doctor is in the house. He makes house calls. Oh, yes, he does. And whatever the need is, God's got it. I know there's some that struggle. And you say, well, Pastor, the struggle is real. And yeah, but the one that can bring you through the struggle is here. And he wants to deliver you. But the only way he can deliver you is if you give it to him. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, while these are here at the altar, we want to have them anointed with oil. And that's a scriptural mandate in James, the fifth chapter. Is any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith. I need some faith people today connecting with us as we pray. Are you here?
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise. Because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.